So that's page 1031, Luke chapter 1, verse 39.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. Then she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sounds of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
My name is Tim, for those of you I've not met before. I'm the minister, the leader, overall leader here. Good if you just turn to that reading again that we had from Luke's Gospel, just to think a little bit this morning about Christmas, and in particular what Christmas spirit is. Just turn to page 1031, to Luke chapter 1. I hope you notice the connection, the news item was the early part of John chapter 1, and then the reading was from the later part of John chapter 1. I hope you managed to pick that up, so that we were kind of a little bit all in the story as to up to speed with what was going on with Mary and her family. I wonder what does come to your mind if I say Christmas spirit. What kind of things come to your mind? What do you think of? You are allowed to answer back. You are allowed to engage with me this Christmas morning.
Dinner.
Christmas dinner. Excellent. What else do other people say?
Alcohol.
Dinner, alcohol. And then, sorry?
Arguments.
Scrooge. Love and joy. Hey, that's my wife saying that. Oh, I set the tone in our family for Christmas. Love and joy. Yeah, what else? Sorry? Giving, excellent. Anything else? Sorry?
Warm fires.
I couldn't see you, Sheila, that you're kind of in behind there. Fantastic. Excellent. Well, you kind of read my mind a little bit. Here's the first picture coming up now. Some people think of, there it is, the spirit of Christmas. You think of pretty lights and baubles and all the decorations. Here's the next one coming up. Someone said Scrooge. Who said Scrooge? Hey Matt, did you see these before?
No.
Oh, no. Christmas spirit, you know, you think of the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. Someone said drink. Who said booze? That was Conrad. Yeah, Conrad, he's a doctor. So, yeah. There we are, here's the next picture. We think of spirit in a bottle, I came across this particular news item this last week. A staff party at a Santa's grotto in Ireland was ruined when a camel scoffed all the food. Gus, who's pictured above, is the star attraction of Centre's Magical Animal Kingdom in the Mullagar Equestrian Centre. But when staff went home to change for their Christmas party, Gus broke out of the pen and demolished 200 mince pies and 6 cans of Guinness. He was biting the tops off with his teeth and sucking up the Guinness like a man possessed, said one of Santa's helpers. It was brilliant. Here's the next picture I've got, the Christmas tree with all the gifts underneath there. That's what our tree looked like this morning. Doesn't look like that now. Someone mentioned dinner, Andy at the back there, parties and the Christmas meal. I don't know, any of your Christmas tables going to look like that? It'll be that pretty, that welcoming. Ours is already. But we have parties. We have all the friends. Well, let me read something else. This is Alan Freeman. Alan Freeman, the DJ, died just a couple of weeks ago, really, wasn't it? And I read this in his obituary. This is the final couple of lines in his obituary. "We're all basically lonely," he said. "The DJ is a lonely man playing in a lonely playing to a lonely public. I'm lonely, but my loneliness is self-inflicted. I wallow in it, and it's great." But not all of us are like that. Christmas can be a lonely time, and although all these little pictures we've got, all of these things that we relate with the Christmas and Christmas spirit, often don't deliver, do they? The presents only last a short while. The booze, you go out and you think, well, it's going to make you happy, but no, actually it doesn't. What else do we have? Family. Someone mentioned family. There's one family Christmas. Here's another family. Some of you may be going to this family for Christmas Day. They are present. There they are. Took a while to register. Where are the Briggs family? They're sat over there. Do you want to? Yeah, they. Thanks for sending the picture through, Steve. Steve's an artist. Evangelina is in somewhere in the building, isn't she? She looks just like her dad. We think of family. Here's something else from the newspaper. This was on the metro. I picked it up on the tram just the other day. Family feuds are set to ruin Christmas for millions of Britons this year. Nearly 1 in 10 people have not seen a member of their family in the past year due to a simmering row. For many, Christmas is the only time we make an effort to catch up. A further 10% said they'd lost all contact with a member of their immediate family. Not their extended family, their immediate family. Often we don't think of getting together with a family, but for many people that doesn't deliver either. And for those of us that it looks like it's going to deliver on, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not delivering anymore, is it? These are often the ways that we look and think about Christmas spirit. The authentic, the ultimate, the original Christmas spirit, we could have gone to the shepherds, could we not? We could have gone to the wise men who came to visit the baby Jesus from the east. But as we did with our little news spot, the little film that we had, and with our readings, we're going to go to Mary here in Luke chapter 1. Mary was humanly, physically, the person who was closest to the Son of God. Quite an extraordinary thought, that is the miracle of the virgin birth. Mary knew, just to cast your eye down the words here in the Bible, Mary knew that her son would be great. She says there in verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." So Mary knew her son would be great. Mary knew that her son would be the Son of God. Look at verse 35. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So Mary knew that he was great, knew that he was the Son of God. Mary's second cousin-to-be, John the Baptist, he was only a little baby. In fact, he was still in his mother's womb, and he knew that Mary's son was going to be great. So look to verse 44. When they finally get together, Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." There's a happy baby in the mother's womb. And so John the Baptist knew before he was born that the Son of God was Jesus and was going to be great. Of course, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, also knew. Look again at verse 42. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your labour." She says with a loud cry, we heard, didn't we? Look back at verse 20. Her husband has been dumb for a while. He can't speak, but she's making all the noise she can to enjoy the moment. With a loud voice, she proclaims to Mary. This is a really fantastic moment. So then we get to Mary's song, the Magnificat, as it's sometimes called. Mary's song is really, I think, the ultimate Christmas carol. It's the original Christmas carol. It's the Christmas carol that makes all other Christmas carols pale into the shadows. It is a fantastic Christmas carol which describes to us Christmas spirit, I think. It is a fantastic song. So just engage again with me, answer some of these questions. They're really quite simple. You can't get them wrong, I don't think. But join with me, and that way some of the young ones can stay engaged as well. Just look at the beginning of Mary's song here. Just look at verses 46 and 47. How would you describe Mary's emotions in verses 46 and 47? Sure.
Extreme joy.
Extreme joy. Anyone want to add to that? Other things that come to mind if you look at those two verses? We can leave it at that. Extreme joy.
Grateful.
What other words come to your mind? Grateful, extreme joy. Sorry?
Thanks.
That word Magnificat. What does Magnificat mean, do you think? Bigger. Well, what other words do we know that might begin? The same word is the word that we sometimes use mega for. Here's a question for some of the younger ones. What other words do you know that begin with the word mega? There's the mega centre, isn't there, here in Sheffield? What other words begin with the word mega? A what? Megabytes. Thanks to the computer experts over there. I don't want to. What else begins there? We'll move further back. A mega store, right? Someone's been doing their Christmas shopping. What's a mega store? It's a small store, isn't it? No, it's not. It's a huge, big store, isn't it? What else begins with mega?
Megaphone.
That's the one I'm looking for. Megaphone. Megaphone. All right. That's what a megaphone does. That's what Elizabeth has already said with a loud voice, and now Mary joins in with a Magnificat, a mega. She said, "This isn't a quiet song." I was in a choir as a little boy, as a treble, and there were other men in the room like Paul Robinson, who were also choir boys in their day, and we sung this to a really beautiful, beautiful tune. And I'm sure Paul and myself, perhaps one day, we could sing it together for you as a duet. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? We look forward to that day. It would be fantastic. And it was all real twee. But I kind of like get with that word mega, that Mary was really going big here. She was going big on noise. She was quite loud about it and big about it. And so there's, yeah, that word Magnificat, mega. My soul magnifies. So, Where does their emotion come from? Just look at those little verses again. Where does it come from? It comes out of her mouth. Yes, she goes big with the words, with her voice. But where actually does it originate? Where does the noise originate?
Spirit.
Soul. Soul and spirit. What's your soul? What's your spirit? Putting those into our own words. We talk about soul. We talk about spirit. Let's talk about it in English. Heart. How would you put it in English that the folks walking by would understand on any normal day of the week? Yeah.
The spark that makes you you.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Deep down, it's the spark. It's the essence, isn't it? The very bottom of your being. Sorry.
your whole being. Yeah, kind of like, yeah, it's the spark. It's you as an entity, my soul, my spirit. Oh, yeah, those are good ways of thinking about it. So Mary's actually saying that, you know, there is something deep within me, the spark of my being, that actually it bursts out and goes mega. So something deep within, you can't see, perhaps can't hear. It's there and it burns with this stuff that wants to just come out and say, I am happy. And I don't mind people knowing how happy I am. Brilliant, isn't it? Just to help us, we're going to have a little bit of a Christmas caption competition. I've got three little pictures for you. And here is the first picture coming up on the screen. Just talk about it amongst yourself there. Just talk to the person, have a look at the picture, and then come up with the people sat next to you, a kind of like caption that would fit with that picture there. Do you know what these are here? Can you see what these are? Yeah, I think they're crocodiles. There's one here. Crocodile, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, about half day. There are about 70 crocodiles on the edge there. And there's one in the water here, one there, one there, one there. That's 73 crocodiles. That's a shadow there of... And that's his shadow, his parachute, or the reflection.
Andy Harvey's next trick.
Andy, your trick from the Clifton Suspension Bridge looks shallow. But I don't think this guy planned it. He's obviously a soldier. He's got his kit on the back. One wonders what's in his kit.
I wish I hadn't volunteered for this feeding of the 5,000.
I wish I hadn't volunteered. Very good. Anyone else got a clip for it? Lunch. Time for a light bite. So, oops.
Snappy number.
Snappy number, very good. Yeah, yeah. Any others?
Oh, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. The person who sent it to me said that, are there times in life when swearing's allowed? Yeah, this is a parachute that you can't actually control. It's just standard parachute, that one. It's coming straight down, and okay, so that's one caption. Now let's just change the story. Let's add to this story, and just off the photograph here, where my little red dot is a speedboat coming in real fast. Okay, and the timing is that it's going to just meet with a shadow here, just as he comes down and pick him up. All right, now what's the caption read now? Hurry up. Let's say that the boat is here. He knows it. He knows the boat's there.
Rescue Hallelujah.
Rescue Hallelujah. What else?
Thank God.
Thank God? Yeah, what else?
Better crocodiles are gutted.
Yeah. What other things?
On the Norfolk Broads, nice in the
autumn. You see, this boat rescues this guy. And later that day he's down the pub, what does he say to his mates? Is he quiet about it?
You'd never believe this.
You'd never believe this. Alright, is he going to tell them or not?
Yeah.
Is he going to get the photograph out? Is he going to keep this photograph in his wallet and keep showing it people? He is, isn't he? I think this guy, from within his spirit, within his soul, will not be able to start speaking very loudly if he was rescued from that. Now, I don't know what happened to him. But if he was rescued from 70 crocodiles, then seriously, this guy would be happy from the bottom of his heart. I think that gives us some little glimpse of an idea as to Mary's song. Something deep within her that is extremely glad, extremely happy, and comes out speaking. So, Christmas spirit, according to Mary, I would say, is summarised in two words: it's loud and it's deep. It's loud and it's deep. It wants everyone to know, and it wants everyone to know how good it is from the bottom of my heart, from the essence of my being, from the whole of my being, from my soul, my spirit, my heart. I want everyone to know how good Christmas is. That is Christmas spirit, according, I think, to Mary. And so I want to say today, I want to ask you a question. Have you got Christmas spirit? Yeah, can you relate? If this guy with the guy on the crocodile, if he was rescued, yeah, can you see somewhere in your mind, in your heart, begin to say, well, yeah, actually, I do think of Christmas in that way. Do you do that? Can you relate to that? Do you want to be able to relate to Christmas in that way? See, a Christmas spirit can't be forced. I don't think Christmas spirit can be worked up. You can't switch it on. You can't meditate it into existence. You can't think it up. You can't sing it up. You can sing, but you still won't get there. It's actually when it comes from a realization of what's happened, of knowing, in actual fact, that there is a rescue. And this rescue is you really were in danger. And you really have really been rescued. It's real. It's happened. I wonder, do we carry around in our wallets or in our handbags something to say, we'd get out in the pub and say, oh, let me tell you about Christmas. This is what really excites me. Burning our hearts in that way, because it ought to. It really ought to. If we've got a handle on it, it really ought to make us incredibly happy. So what was it? Let's come back to Mary's song here and begin to pick up a little bit more of what it is that's getting us so excited. So why was Mary so happy? Just look at verse 46 to 49 and just thinking through the question, why was she so happy? What does she say about herself in verses 46 to 49? What does Mary say about herself in verse 46 to 49? Again, you can join in. She's humble. Yeah. Describe, you know, she describes herself. She describes herself as humble. What other words does she use to describe herself?
Servant.
Servant. Yeah. Humble servant. What else?
Blessed.
Blessed. It's striking, isn't it? Those are the words that she uses. How does she describe God in verses 46 to 49? That's how she describes herself. How does she describe God in verses 46 to 49? Saviour. Mighty. Holy. Holy name. What does that mean? What does holy name mean? I want to help her a little bit more on that. What is holy name? My name's Tim. Would you say my name's holy name? Is there something, you know, something specifically about Lord or God that is holy? Or what is it? What does holy name mean? I want to, you know, just help us with that a little bit. And how we describe it to someone doing their Boxing Day shopping? Stuart. Is it the name itself that's holy? What is holy name?
Identity.
Identity? Who said identity? Identity. Were you going to say something? Other, completely separate. Yeah, God is completely other to us. His identity, putting those two things together, his identity is entirely separate to our identity. He is other, he is holy, he is pure, and he is other. We are not holy, pure like him. That's those two words, I think, are a really good summary of that the name of God. The name is his character, his identity, his personhood. And so Mary is quite striking. She talks about God being the mighty God, the holy God. So how else does she describe God in verses 52 and 53 and in those later verses that follow on? How else does she describe him? Strong, merciful. What does he do for the hungry? Provides. What does he do with the proud? Scatters them. What does he do with rulers? What does he do with people sat on thrones? He dethrones them, doesn't he? Knocks them off the pedestal. You see, I mean, it's striking, isn't it? God is holy, God is other. And Mary is saying, I am not holy,
I am not Abba, God is the only, is alone is holy. And she's saying, I'm actually humble. I'm merely a servant. And strikingly, she calls God Saviour. Now, there are some people in the world who think that Mary didn't need saving. They talk not just of the virgin birth, they talk of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was perfect. And there are people who pray to Mary. Now, if Mary was here now, I think she says, well, just please do not do that. Because I say in my song here, from my own lips, with my loud voice, God is my Saviour. I need a Saviour. Mary was a sinner. I think that's why she's so humbled by that. Why should God choose her? She's just any normal girl from, you know, from the little town. And see, the extraordinary thing is that the mighty God, the holy God, should choose her. That's what stunned her, isn't it? That's what's so striking for us. So let's come to the second of our Christmas caption competition, caption the pictures here. There we are. Just talk with the folks next to you for a moment and just come up with a little caption for that particular picture, would you? You see what's going on here? There's the one little kid there, and there's another little kid, and there's a pot of paint, there's the lid, and there's the paint of the settee, and the carpet, and the telly, and they seem to have avoided painting their own toys, it seems. Look, see that? They've just painted mum and dad's stuff. Alright, I want to come up with a caption for that one.
Little treasures.
Little treasures.
This looks better in white.
This looks better in white.
Can there be forgiveness?
We all want to help.
Yeah, okay. The person taking the photograph, I reckon, is a dad. I've been in a similar situation myself, and I was the one who got the camera out and was trying not to laugh while two mothers were just going, psh, bananas. So there's a dad taking the photograph, and there's a mother looking in here. What's the mother thinking?
Kill him. They must take after their dad.
Thank you for that. Must take after their dad. All right. All right then. Now, mum is actually really forgiven. It's Christmas Day the next day. All this has happened on Boxing Day, on New Year, Christmas Day. How do these children react? How ought they to react? How would you react to a mother who responds to this situation with mercy? Imagine these aren't your children. How would people describe you if this was your house and this is what they did to it? And how would the parents of these children respond to you if you responded to them and their children like they're still welcome any time in your home? How would the parents of these children respond to you?
Send them out with a pot of white spirit.
Be unbelievable, wouldn't it? It's impossible. I'd never imagined that happening. It wouldn't happen. Would it? Someone responding and thinking, "I'm really glad these children came around my house, even though they did that to it." Interesting enough, I think that's the heart of what's going on with Mary here. Is that she is humble about herself and she's boastful about God. She said, "I need a saviour. God is other. He is holy and pure. I need a saviour. I'm just simply a poor servant girl. I need to say I'm a sinner like everyone else. I need rescuing, and God has chosen me. God has been gracious and merciful to me." So that's how I'd summarise the next two words, the Christmas spirit. Christmas spirit is loud and deep. I'd say the Christmas spirit is secondly humble and boastful at the same time. Humble about ourselves and boastful about God. And again, I'd want to ask, I mean, do we relate to that? Do we relate to the being humble about ourselves? I mean, that song that we had read, sung earlier on from Philippians, it is about Jesus. It's about Jesus, but it starts actually like this. Let me read it to you. The New Testament says this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So it's actually, we're called to be humble. If you understand Christmas properly, we will be humble, because we realise that God has been wonderfully gracious and merciful to us, and we've got a humble Lord Jesus. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. If Jesus is humble and leaves the throne, the glory of heaven, and comes as a baby to messy people like us to clean it up, how are we going to be humble, aren't we? And boastful. We want to tell other people about this God, wouldn't we? I mean, if that was your, you know, so your children, someone responded with grace and mercy, you'd go around with that photograph. I would say, look what my kids did. But you know, Paul Robinson and Karen, they forgave them. Yeah, we were around at Paul and Penny Harvey's house, and they wrecked the joint. And Paul and Penny, I can imagine Paul and Penny actually being kind. They were, you know, we were around Matt and Lil's house. I was around Jill O'Connell's place, you know, around Tom Furnahus and Bill and Sheila's, and I wrecked the joint. And they responded really nicely and kindly to me and my children, and they said we could come back on Boxing Day. I'll be humble about myself and boastful about them. It's a great story. Are we like that with Christmas? We ought to be. Lastly, let's move to the. Let's come back and ask a couple more questions now. Moving to the end here. There's more, isn't there? As we come towards the end of this great story about great carol, rather. And Mary was uniquely blessed. We can't share in her joy completely. No, there's no way we could. Well, she was unique in terms of what God did through her. But there are ways that we can join in with her. We can have the same hearts that are responsive to God in the same way. Because of look at verses 54 and 55. Let me just read 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. See, God through Mary is keeping some ancient promises that he made thousands of years before to this guy called Abraham. Abraham didn't have any children. He was an old guy, and his wife Sarah was really old, and God said, look, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, and you're going to have offspring, and through you I'm going to bless the whole world. And Mary said, well, that's coming true now. See, so it's actually a promise for everybody to bless the whole world. And not just for Christmas time, isn't it? Not just for the first Christmas. Look how it goes on. At verse 55, he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring for what's the last word of the song? For forever. For all time. For us now. The promise is available for us today, here at the end of 2006, for all people everywhere. So here's the final Christmas caption competition. Coming up. There we go. Can you all see that quite clearly? You make out what they are? Yeah, this is the life, the generations of the Volkswagen bus. Called in Australia and Africa as the combi van. There we go, begins here. This one's been made into a bit of a cow there, a bull. This is the series that Paul Harvey's got. You saw it last night. You know, your grey one there. Nice red one there. 2.5 TDI. Hey, silver one. Look at that one. That's a class machine. It's one parked outside there. And anyway, look, there's the original advert. See, there's a whole road got them here, look. And there's a family. At the end of a holiday. Sat in one. How would you? What kind of caption would you come up with that then? It'll make you think a little bit more. This one.
Thank God for the RAC. If you stand enough to take a photo of the room car.
Yeah. These are both off adverts. Sorry.
Going travelling.
Yeah. What else? What's the Volkswagen advert say normally? There's nothing. Oh, Matt's got a VW, hasn't he? Got a Beetle, haven't you? Yeah. If only everything in life was as reliable as a VW. That's what the advert says, isn't it?
My Beetle isn't.
Your Beetle's not. Kind of in my mind, the reason why I got anyone else got, before I kind of like go on, anyone else got a caption for this one? Old and new. Best things in life go on forever, yeah?
Out with the old
in
with the new.
Out with the old in with the new, yeah? I like that one. Out with the old in with the new. It's interesting because some of these still go. You can buy them down in Cornwall, can't you? Kind of slightly revamped, they're still going strong. And some of these photographs are quite recent. Yeah, I mean, my mind with this one here is that previous generations relied upon the old Volkswagen bus. And current generations rely on the vote, so certainly we as a family do, and other families in this building do as well. And it's not a brilliant analogy, is it? But because they do break down. But it's a good summary, or okay, a little bit of a good illustration, I think, of the promises of God. God's promises in the Old Testament are relevant and available to us now. People relied on Volkswagens in the past, I rely on one nowadays. And Mary's saying at the end of her song, people relied on your promises ages and ages and ages ago through Abraham. And we rely on them today, and we'll rely on them into the future. So my summary of Mary's song at the end here, the third thing to do with Christmas spirit, is Christmas spirit is both ancient and modern, which I think your summary pretty well fitted with that one there. Christmas spirit is loud and deep. Christmas spirit is humble and yet boastful about God. Christmas spirit thinks of something ancient, but it was present and real to Mary, but also is forever, is for us today. You can rely on it now. And people in the years to come will be able to rely on the promises that God fulfilled through Mary in bringing about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just going to get here. Christmas promises all sorts of things. I've got a final bit of a newspaper clip here. It says this. Dreaming of Christmas and the Christmas spirit. This is the dream Christmas spirit and your Christmas spirit in reality. Again, this was on the Metro, the newspaper on the tram. The dream Christmas. Smelling frankincense and myrrh and knowing just what to expect. Your Christmas. Smelling Old Spice and knowing just what to expect. Dream Christmas. Friends and relatives you rarely hear from write to you. The reality? It's a circular letter sent to everyone. The dream. Listening to what St. Matthew's Passion says about Christmas. The reality. Listening to what Bernard Matthews says about Christmas. The dream. The delightful dilemma of deciding whether to wear gold or silver at your favourite parties. The reality not bothering. Under party lights we all look like we've got psychedelic chicken pox. The dream. Knowing that Christmas cheer will always get you through. And the reality knowing Desperate Housewives box set might get you through. The dream, dreaming of deep glittering snow. The reality being knee deep in slush. The dream, the joy and anticipation of the night before Christmas. And then the reality, the head of last minute shopping at the nearest all night petrol station. And then the dream, breaking down when you watch the snowman. The reality, just breaking down. No matter what's on TV. I was following a Volkswagen the other day, and it was a Volkswagen that was for supporting other Volkswagen drivers. It was the Volkswagen's equivalent to the AA, and in the back window it said, even Volkswagen drivers sometimes need help. They do break down. The promises we have don't they don't last. But Jesus is, the promises of God through Jesus does. And as we rely upon him and his eternal promises for rescue, for forgiveness, as we look at ourselves and who we are humbled, and we look at God and who he is, we are thrilled with joy. And so this Christmas time, let's be filled with a loud and deep emotion, a humble and boastful emotion, one that is based upon an ancient and yet modern promise. Now let's just spend a moment quiet, shall we? Just keep that Mary song open in front of you and just cast your eye down the whole thing again. And just reflect quietly, shall we, just for a moment, and thank God for Christmas time.